Good morning, everybody.
Ounces of Information by Central States Beverage Company.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Ounces of Information podcast brought to you by Central States Beverage Company. My name is Aaron Robinson, podcasting from the Central States Marketing Studios. And how are you? I hope you answered and I hope it was good. But, you know, podcasts can't really hear you. But I have some cool stuff for you to hear today. It is the great St. Louis podcast episode. Since, you know, us being the distributor we are, having the pleasure of distributing fine products on both sides of the state line, sometimes those split a little bit. Over on the Missouri side, Central States distributes the legendary St. Louis brewery, Schlafly. And over on the Kansas side, we have one of the coolest breweries in the Midwest in Four Hands. It's a pretty big anniversary year for both, actually. Four Hands will be celebrating their 10th anniversary, and Schlafly their 30th. And while obviously there are some pretty cool similarities between the two breweries, what makes them different is also just so cool. And we get into all that. So my guest today, from Schlafly, Mr. Gary Briggs, and from Four Hands, Mr. Jeremy Danner, both bring such a unique perspective to the table that I'm really excited for everybody to listen to this. But first, we have a new segment we got to debut this week. You know, with us still working our way past this whole pandemic word, and us still not being able to, you know, really meet in person to discuss all the cool happenings around this company, it's still important to remember all the awesome things that we're sending out on trucks every single day to Kansas City. So I got a few bullet points we got to run through here in a new segment called This Could Have Been an Email.
This could have been an email.
Okay, here we go. So many delicious things that are coming our way from our friends at Molson Coors right now. Blue Moon in particular has taken their GABF gold-winning hazy pale ale, Moon Haze, and canned it for consumption nationwide. One sip of this beer will show you why the hype is totally real. Pair it with a Blue Moon Belgian White or a Blue Moon Light Sky for optimal flavor options for anyone at your holiday parties. We also have big things coming from Steel Reserve with the launch of Steel Reserve Tiki Series. Incredible flavors, and with each at 10%, sip, don't run. It's also that time of year for a Liney transition. Oktoberfest to Bock, collab to Dunkel. Look for the Liney Toasted Bock and the Tasty Chocolate Dunkel popping up on trucks very soon. Of course, with the holidays bringing an increased number of calories on our plates, it's easier than ever to balance that with low-calorie drinks to pair and not leave us with regret. Plenty of Miller Lite, Coors Light, and four different variety packs of Vizzy Hard Seltzer on the way every day. Speaking of seltzer in the holidays, get festive with Truly's new Holiday Hard Seltzer Pack featuring four Holly Jolly Hard Seltzers, each to bring out the celebration in anyone. My personal favorite, Holiday Sangria style, but all are cool, for real. Nova Flare is on fire, pun intended. It's no secret Boulevard Space Camper is just an awesome IPA, and the Space Camper universe has not bombed, to say the least. Nova Flare's West Coast-style IPA might be the best new hero introduced yet, though, balancing bitterness with fruitiness for 12 ounces, or 16 if you're getting a draft pour, of out-of-this-world taste. Totally subjective opinion, but prove me wrong. It's so good, grab this one before it's gone, though. It's also the most wonderful time for some Boulevard beer in Kansas City. I'm not regretting any of this, by the way. With the reemergence of the straight-up legend Nutcracker Ale. This smoother than it has any business being winter warmer is back and making its way around the metro very, very soon, if not literally right now, because you know, I don't know when you're listening. It's a podcast. Pair this with Boulevard's stellar barrel-aged beers portfolio, and you have all the essentials for one incredible evening. Let's talk about margs for a second. Bottled or canned, it's tough to beat the convenience of a Cayman Jack margarita. We've boosted orders to keep up with holiday demand, so let's get it from the warehouse to the people. People want margs. But also, this time of year is made for a spot on the patio with a delicious drinking American brown ale. In short, this time of year is made for Moosterol. Big Sky Brewing Company's famous brown ale is fresh off the trucks and ready to hit shelves around Kansas City. Pair a can of this with that Midwest weather we all love, and it's an absolute win. Bullseye with Big Sky. Wouldn't be a brisk bite in the air without the reminder that it's whiskey season. Get some of the absolute best in the business with Lenexa's own Union Horse Distilling Co. Bottles of Reunion Straight Rye, Rolling Standard, and Reserve Bourbon are up for the task. Jump on and let's go! And finally, we can't forget the craft beer fire that's coming out of Raytown right now. Crane Variety Packs might be one of my favorite 2021 innovations. Six beers, two each, 12-pack form? Get out. Send the holidays a complimentary Crane greeting with these variety packs and make everyone at the parties incredibly happy. And reminder, there are some incredible tools to utilize in your friendly neighborhood marketing department. Come on by, see what's up. And that's it. Our first ever, this could have been an email. If you love it, like it, or slightly like it, please let me know by messaging the Central States Facebook page, facebook.com/CSBev. Should have already been following, let's be real. And just remember, this could have been an email. All right, fun's been had. I'm excited to get into this St. Louis podcast episode. There's a lot of great information for both sides of the state line. Let's jump right in. First up, I have Gary Briggs from Schlafly Brewing Company. I'm very happy and excited today that it is the great St. Louis episode. Later on, you're going to hear from Jeremy Danner at Four Hands talking about our Kansas eye distribution. But right now, equally as excited is Gary Briggs from Schlafly Brewing Company to talk about our Missouri side St. Louis distribution. How are you, sir?
Very good. Good to see you, Aaron.
It's good to see you. It's been way too long.
Yes.
It's becoming a thing.
Yeah, I know. The pandemic is quite the squeeze.
Right. And now that we can actually like get out and talk to people and see people, it's like, how do we get used to this again, you know?
For sure.
But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to talk beer. I'm glad to talk Schlafly in particular. And with that, let's kind of roll right into it. I know you've been with Schlafly for quite some time, right?
15 years on August 28th this year.
So. Goodness gracious. Yeah. And this, okay, we've talked about this in person at one point or another, and you corrected me correctly to do so, that Schlafly has been brewing beer in St. Louis since 1992?
Well, the brewery opened in 91, so we brewed our first beer in 1991.
That's it.
Yeah. But as far as production, it was more 2003 before we seen big production. We were doing some stuff out of the taproom for bars before that. And then we had some contract brewing that occurred before that as well. So before my time.
Gotcha. And Schlafly obviously has been involved in like the legal process of beer and brewing and distribution in Missouri since day one.
For sure. So, you know, John McDonald could open a production brewery in the state of Missouri, but you couldn't open a brew pub. So that's the difference for us, as we really wanted to be a brew pub and, you know, have some great food and beer and parties in a building, you know, in St. Louis. But since Prohibition, there was nothing that wasn't allowed. So we had to actually do the work to help get that approved. And, you know, all brew pubs came after 1991 in Missouri.
Has that brew pub, and you bring it up, if you've not been to the St. Louis Brewery's brew pub in downtown St. Louis, it is very, very cool, but it's also almost like a step out of 1991. Has it changed in any way since day one?
I mean, a little bit. When you walk in the door, there's sort of an area to pick up beer, and POS is a little, it's like a little mini store.
Sure.
That has adapted quite a bit. You know, we have some new fooders that are visible. We didn't have fooders in the building before, and now we have those that are visible. So there's been some changes, but I would say most people that wouldn't notice a lot of it.
It's a very cool, authentic experience that, especially for a brew pub, that I don't think I've seen in this country in particular. It's very cool. You definitely need to check it out.
Yeah. I mean, when people ask me about where to go, you know, because we have several brew pubs now that we can talk about if you'd like. But I always say the tap room, best fish and chips in St. Louis. You know, British style pub food.
Right.
It's a great place to go to get that.
Awesome beer, awesome food, awesome time. And we're very, very fortunate to have that beer here in Kansas City as well. So you don't necessarily need to drive all the way down I-70 to go get this experience.
For sure.
You just got to go to a local store or pub yourself. That's right. You know? Let's talk a little bit about that because, you know, especially right now, we are on the heels of what Schlafly does just better than almost anyone, which is the pumpkin ale.
Oh, yeah.
Schlafly's
for sure.
Legendary beer. And, you know, it may be hard to find that some of that market right now, but we got to talk about it because it's Schlafly Pumpkin Ale.
Right.
So you're coming off the season. It's an award-winning beer. It's a successful beer. Let's talk about what makes it the Pumpkin Ale and what makes Schlafly different than, you know, let's say Pumpkin Ale X over there.
Yeah. So I think the thought process was with Pumpkin Ale, you know, there was a lot of 5% beers out there that people threw, you know, pumpkin pie spice in, and these are their pumpkin ales. And those are good beers. But we really thought a pumpkin ale should be equivalent to eating pumpkin pie. And therefore, we wanted to up the strength a little bit and match the malt with the spices that we chose, which were, you know, cinnamon, clove, and nutmeg. And then, of course, we use real pumpkin puree, butternut squash in it as well. So it's a juice that's made for us with that blend of pumpkin and butternut squash that is added in. We did win the silver at GABF in 2017. I actually got to be there for that. That was fun.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So, and then it takes a lot of planning. And, you know, we yelled at all the time about, you know, it coming out August 1st. And there's always a distributor that drops it a week sooner. And so then it's in the market in July. And, and so I always laugh because it's been, I think, almost 9 years in a row now that we've tried to drop it August 1st. And it's usually right around there. So.
Right, right. I mean, you know, you got to account for like the start of the week. Yeah. And August 1st isn't always on a Monday, you know?
Yeah. And so to the people that say it comes out earlier every year, it was true to a point, but we haven't changed it in 9 years. So.
I love this conversation so much because, you know, as someone who manages the social media accounts for the distributor here, yeah. It's always fun to talk seasonal creep. And I don't know why fall gets hit on the most. I think it's just because fall is such a polarizing concept for seasonals with Oktoberfest and pumpkin beers.
Yep.
But it's like, dude, come on, same time.
Even if we didn't make pumpkin ale, fall would be one of our busiest time frames in terms of seasonals because Oktoberfest is so massive for us as well.
Right.
To throw pumpkin on top of that, you know, which is probably 6 times more successful than Oktoberfest or more than that. I mean, we sell tons of pumpkin in the East Coast. I mean, more than what they sell in St. Louis.
That is bonkers to me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But you brought up the Oktoberfest, too, and obviously that's nothing to scoff at either. That is a fantastic traditional Oktoberfest-style beer.
Sure.
But yeah, so the fall season, and Schlafly is right there at the beginning of it with all of the heavy hitters, specifically the pumpkin ale. And you're right, August 1st is always the time. And I love the too soon comments.
Yeah,
but you know, it's fine. More for us.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's our best-selling season, and it's not long enough, so there's something to be said for sort of seasonal fatigue. You know, summer beers, you would love for them to sell till the end of September or something like that, but they just don't. They really drop off about mid-August.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way, it's perfect to be, you know, a month early, so to speak.
Right. That's kind of my only source of venting whenever it comes to seasonals, too, is if I had a wish, and obviously the market's against me, much like how the market's against anybody who complains about too soon August 1st for fall seasonals, is I kind of wish the winter seasonals would at least sell a little bit better into January, specifically here in the Midwest, where it is more winter in January than it is necessarily in November and December. But it is what it is. And instead, the summer seasonal gets 4 months, whatever.
Right. And I mean, that's definitely taken into consideration when we make winter beers. There's a lot to consider with that. You know, we used to do Christmas ale.
Yeah.
Fell right behind pumpkin. It was actually a very similar beer. It didn't have any pumpkin in it. We changed up the spice content. People loved it. But really, the day after Christmas, no one would pick it up because somehow it wasn't
Christmas on it.
So over the last couple of years, we've tried to adapt. Now we're putting an IPA in that particular category.
Right. We need to talk about that too, because there is life after pumpkin ale, and there is a lot of good life after pumpkin ale. Schlafly is really coming to the table with the winter seasonals. We'll get into coffee stout here in a little bit, and we'll get into stout bout here in a little bit. But we were talking a little bit off mic before that Schlafly's got a pretty unique approach to winter. Whenever most people are doing the winter warmers and most people are going after the stouts and the coffee stouts and the flavored stouts and just those ones you cozy up with, you're throwing an IPA into the game.
Yeah, we know that we make some good IPAs. Tasmanian IPA is an example. It's probably one of our second most sought out after beer behind pumpkin ale. And so it's an opportunity for us to showcase our relationships with hop growers. They like to send us there are new hops. We make a base pale ale with it and then send that back samples. And then we decide what we like with it. And so Winter Haze is a blend of 3 different hops. Idaho 7 Strata and Sabro hops. And then it's 15 IBUs. So that's something that...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a very crushable IPA, hazy. And we use sort of white wheat malt in it, as well as some pale malt, along with some flaked oat. So it gives it this real light-bodied characteristic, but you get all the aroma. And I love it. It's one of my favorite beers on tap.
It's still a way to be festive with an IPA.
Sure.
At a time when most people are going for the barrel-aged stuff.
Yeah, you know? There's definitely no spice or heaviness to it in regards to, being a winter beer. But it's just like, instead of...
Right, right. Well, and honestly, it kind of corners a market that nobody ever really thinks about. Because like we just said, the barrel-aged stouts and the heavy beers and all that stuff. But this is also a time when people are eating probably more than they normally do throughout the course of the rest of the year. You don't want all of those calories and every single inch of your belly to be full with food and that beer. You may as well have some light beer, lighter beer with it as well.
I feel like you're talking directly to me, Aaron.
I did. It was inadvertent, but okay.
I can't wait.
The conversation is definitely coming about, what do I need to sacrifice here for the sake of my own well-being? We do need to talk about the stouts, too, because it's not like Schlafly just nixes that game entirely for the winter as well. There is the famous coffee stout used with Caldi's coffee, right?
Right. Yeah, so we use Caldi's organic French roast. There's actually a whole story behind it. A lot of times, and I tell this to you, Aaron, you would say, how long have you been making coffee stout? And I might say, well, I don't know. We've been doing it since 1996, but you were probably 7, so you would know that.
That was very close.
No, that's not a nice thing to say. But yeah, we've been doing it a long time. Since before I came around. You know, we used to make oatmeal stout at the brewery, and people that worked at Caldi's would come in with their own cold toddy of coffee, and they would... You know, they would just dump it in the oatmeal stout.
Oh, wow.
And then they made a suggestion that we should start making coffee stout. And we said, we have no idea how to put coffee in a beer. And they basically sort of taught us that this is how you would do it. Because clearly you're not going to make coffee like you do every day. Because then it gets acidic and kind of terrible.
Right.
If you try to add it to something. So that's kind of how that all started.
I appreciate Schlafly's coffee stout because Schlafly and a couple others do it incredibly well too. That it's just a thick-bodied, roasty beer. Whereas if you're going to do a coffee stout, you can't have it be like thin or runny or just barely kind of vaguely there. Like it smells like coffee, but the taste really isn't there.
Yeah, I mean, so oatmeal stout is the base for that beer, and you know it's got enough of its own sort of coffee notes to it, and then the flaked oats in it help make it creamy.
Delicious. Absolutely delicious. Is there caffeine in it?
Yes. So they say it's about the equivalent of a third of a cup of coffee.
Okay.
Same amount of caffeine in a 12-ounce bottle.
Maybe not a midnight beer, but, a 6 p.m. patio. Happy hour, for sure, for a few, you know. noted, because I know there are some coffee stouts in the market that do use decaf just to keep the, you know, flavor there, but the taste, the caffeine, not so much. But hey, I appreciate the buzz with the other buzz, so, you know, best of both worlds.
For sure.
That's awesome. we've also got to talk about the variety pack coming out as well, the Stout Belt variety. 4 different flavors, right?
Yep.
Do you know the 4 off the top of your head?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
So first of all, it'll be oatmeal stout will be the year-round beer that's in the pack.
Check.
Mexican chocolate stout.
Check.
And then vanilla milk stout.
Check.
And salted caramel stout.
Oh, you nailed it. You nailed it. I have the list. I have the notes right in front of me.
Oh, you did not.
Yeah.
This year is Stout Bout Hall of Fame. And so what we did last year in the box, there was a card that you could take, a QR code, or you could send the card in via mail and just vote for your favorite stout from the Stout Bout pack over the last 5 years.
That's awesome.
And those are the stouts that made this pack. And then we're doing that again this year. So it won't be called Hall of Fame. It might be called, you know, Consumer's Choice or something like that. I don't know.
Nice.
That's still early.
But power to the people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I appreciate that because, you know, anybody who's like, well, whatever happened to this stout, you have the opportunity to bring it back.
Yeah.
Just vote.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a lot. The Mexican chocolate stout has been in it every time.
Yeah.
Because we can tell that the consumers are happy about that. And then, you know, it always comes up that why aren't we making that in a 6-pack? You know, I don't know that we want it to compete with coffee stout.
Sure. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But, you know, you never know. Someday.
All right. Yeah. And you know what? If you want it, vote.
Right.
That's how this works. That's how this works. It's a process. But, you know, a lot of stouts, four different flavors of stouts in the variety pack, Stout Bout, coming out very, very soon, if not already. And then the coffee stout in six-pack bottles and anything else?
Yeah, we have – you guys are getting some of the 12-pack cans, the 16-ounce cans.
Oh, nice.
We're doing sort of a value pack in a sense that instead of getting a 12-pack of 12-ounce, you're getting a 12-pack of 16-ounce, but you're paying really the same price as you would say for our – anything else that we make in a 12-ounce. So you're getting a bonus of 4 ounces per can. It's a neat pack.
I don't think you really need to be a math major to figure out you're making a deal here.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome.
It's a good-looking can, too.
And we saw that same 16-ounce 12-pack format with the Oktoberfest, too, to much fanfare.
Yes. We had a discussion last year about adding this to our lineup in Kansas City because we have a lot of beers that just aren't here, and we're trying to introduce some more, and we just thought that would be a fun one-off, just say, hey, you know, on the cans, let's, you know, let's drop in a pallet for the market or something like that, and if it's more successful, obviously do more. I do feel like Oktoberfest is something we could do a lot more of.
100%. I don't know if you know this, Gary, but we here in Kansas City love drinking beer in parking lots.
Yes, I'm fully aware.
And so if you have a 16-ounce versus a 12-ounce, you don't have to run to the car as often or, you know, run to the cooler as often. So this is just win-win across the board.
Yep.
Schlafly, thinking forward. I love it. We talked about the stouts. We talked about the Wintry Haze IPA. But we also need to talk about the other seasonal for the gluten-free fans in the room with the Proper Pour Cider.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, so Bottle Works, we opened that in 2003. And the minute we opened it, we maintained what you call a wine license. In order to maintain a wine license, you have to be making something out of wine, so to speak, or making wine. And, you know, cider falls into the wine category.
Huh.
And so we've been making dry cider for a long, long time, and we've been rotating in some of different flavors. Raspberry was one of the main ciders that we make. And so what we decided to do was alternate raspberry cider with apple pie cider. So raspberry would run, you know, like from March to July, August, something like that. And then we'd come out with apple pie spice.
Nice.
And it's really just our dry cider with cinnamon, clove, and nutmeg. And it really comes off well. I mean, it does really well for us.
It is a fantastic drinking cider.
Yeah, a lot of bars latch onto it. I'll be sampling it tonight at Bar K.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. That's right. We got Bar K this evening.
Yep.
Of course, granted, by the time this podcast come out, Bar K will have already happened. But guess what, Kansas City?
Smart.
It's all right. You still got to go drink at Bar K and drink some Schlafly. And that's not to say that we're going to neglect the year-round Schlaflys that we have available as well. There is a plethora of the Schlafly portfolio that is on shelves and on tap constantly in Kansas City, led by, I think, the Schlafly IPA, of course.
Yeah, so IPA and Kolsch, kind of sort of doing the bulk of what we sell in the market in terms of year-round. Oatmeal and pale would follow that. This year, we're shutting down the canning line here in a couple of weeks for about a month.
Okay. It's like, what?
The bottling line, I should say. And we're shutting down, we're shutting down production for about a month. That being said, we're overly prepared to cover all our distributors. But we're going to be upgrading our canning line pretty dramatically, which means we'll be offering more cans next year. So sometime around the second quarter, I would say people should be looking for some more can offerings from us. And I, for one, am very excited about
that. Oh, sir, that is way too vague. That is way too vague.
Yeah. Well, we haven't presented this to your team yet.
I'm going
to
put on
my... I don't know how much I can tell you.
I'm going to put on my Walter Cronkite mustache here and say, I need the facts, sir. Is there some information you can divulge here?
Sneak peek? I would say that I'm looking forward to seeing Kolsch in a can.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll just leave it at that. I mean, there's definitely going to be more offerings, but everything's not going to be in a can. We still have a brewery called the Bottle Works, so I don't know.
Of course.
We can't stop making bottles. So, I mean, I would say that, you know, we won't make any adjustments to pumpkin over time. You know,
of course. Of
I don't
course.
Know that we could pull the trigger on switching out the cans or not. So.
Still, that's exciting, though, seeing Kolsch in a can and maybe some other things down the road as well.
For sure.
Is the Ibex series still going to be around?
So we have kind of backed off of that in terms of the four-pack carriers. It's now more of a single shelf case, or a single bottle case. There's 24 bottles in the case, but you can't really put it on the shelf as a four-pack. But what we're seeing more often now is people actually these out anyways. A four pack is a tough sell. It's, you know, $17.99 depending on the store.
True.
Going out. So when we get them in in small portions, and they go out to the, you know, the usual players that like that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. That's exciting. It was very nice to get a little sneak peek before anybody else. I like that.
Yep.
And I love the year rounds. I love the seasonal conversation. Is there anything that we're really missing out on here that you just really wanted to make sure we talked about?
Well, we're coming up on our 30th anniversary.
Oh.
Yeah. So on December 26th, which is also my twin boy's birthday,
happy birthday all around.
Yeah. So we have our 30th anniversary at the brewery. I'm not 100% sure what festivities we'll be having going on, but it's going to be a big one for us. There'll be a lot of things that they have planned there. I won't be there, obviously, because I'll be with my kids. That being said, next year is their 21st birthday.
Which so is,
might
you know,
be a good time for their...
The brewery can drink legally. Yeah. That's very nice.
So that might be a good visit.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. If you can get the Schlafly in December for the 30th anniversary, that's great. But if not, we're going to have plenty of Schlafly on the shelves for you to toast with as well.
Yes.
I don't know if you've listened to a podcast that we've done as part of this series before, Gary, but I usually at this point do something a little bit different.
Uh-oh.
Called Five Heavy Hitters.
Butter up!
Five Heavy Hitters.
Okay.
It's five totally random questions that really just require an answer, yes or no. Are you in?
Okay.
All right. Good deal. I'll jump right into it.
Okay.
Question number one. We're talking about the Stout Bout. There's a reason I had this in front of me, and it's because of this very question. So, Stout Bouts line up for 2021. Mexican Chocolate Stout, Vanilla Milk Stout, Salted Caramel Stout, and Oatmeal Stout.
Correct.
Two have got to go. Which two are you, Nixon?
Wait, you said these were yes or no questions, Aaron.
Oh, no. Like, yes or no, are you in? they're open-ended.
For me, it would have to be Salted Caramel Stout.
Okay. You're making a face, and I know that was a hard decision for you.
Yeah, and then I'd have to go with Vanilla Milk Stout. Next,
okay.
Because Mexican Chocolate Stout, you can't lose, and oatmeal's a...
It's really just win-win, right?
Now, if it's just, you know, it's a Stout Bout package, then maybe oatmeal could go because we still sell it year-round, and...
Nice little loophole there.
Yeah.
I like that. No, that's very smart. It's good.
So I beat around the bush on that one a little.
that was a good kind of answer.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Because I know that's tough. I couldn't answer that question, to be honest, because I think they're all four great. Question number two, not Schlafly related. What was your favorite Halloween costume growing up? Or now? Because I know adults dress up too.
I mean, I wasn't all that creative. I mostly showed up at the door and said, give me candy.
But, how did that work out for you?
No. I would say I did simple stuff like, you know, the ghost outfit or something like
okay,
that.
Okay.
I mean, I am 55, Aaron.
Hey, man, you got to respect the classics.
That was a long time ago.
You got to respect the classics. I wouldn't know because whenever I had to stop trick-or-treating at a really young age because I just grew too tall.
Okay.
That they stopped giving me candy. They're like, you're not a kid. I'm like, but I am, though, you know. Yeah. So I just stayed at home and passed out candy and watched scary movies. It was a very traumatizing time for me. Good memories right now. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Question number three. Kind of back to a Schlafly-related question. If you could pair one beer Schlafly makes, seasonal or year-round, with ooey gooey butter cake, what are you doing?
That would probably be, and so I have a specific example for this answer. It would be dry hopped APA.
Okay.
And the reason is I did a beer and cheese pairing at a store one time, and the cheesemonger, so to speak, that worked at the store chose the pairings. And when she paired ooey gooey butter cake cookies to dry hopped APA, I just thought, wow, she really doesn't know what she's doing. That clearly should have been coffee stout or imperial stout.
Right.
And I was blown away at how well that sort of citrus character from the beer played through. And it made it almost like lemon and grapefruit gooey butter cookies. It was really incredible. So that was a learning opportunity for me.
I can't tell you how glad I am to ask that question.
Yeah.
I was expecting a stout because, you know, the sweetness. Yep. But, man, okay, dry hopped APA.
Yeah. So I think, any IPA probably would work. So
Sure. Yeah. So maybe even a Schlafly IPA or something like that. But at the same time, so don't neglect the hops.
Right.
When it comes to the sweets. That's a good thing to take into this weekend, you know?
Yep.
Noted. I had to ask that St. Louis question. I asked Danner about toasted ravioli. So, you know, I want to note, though, that I did avoid asking either of you about St. Louis-style pizza, because that's such a taboo thing, apparently, for everybody outside of St. Louis.
Yeah, no Provel for me, buddy.
We can talk about this off mic. We can talk about it off mic. All I know is there are people listening that don't like it. Steve Kohler, Lagunitas, looking at you. But they're just, give it a chance. You know what? And if you don't like it, don't like it. It is what it is. Go back to your artery clogging Chicago style or whatever.
Probably my top five favorite pizza places are, you know, a couple of them are in St. Louis. Provel, not specifically being
fair
on those pizzas.
Makes it so good. Makes it so good. Those Emo's Provel bites are just chef's kiss. Anyway, all right. Question number four. I'll move on. Not Schlafly related again. If animals could talk, which one would be the most annoying?
I mean, definitely cats.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they have a lot of thoughts about you. You know, they're so judgmental.
God. Never thought of that.
Yeah.
We're getting to a point now in this podcast series where I'm kind of starting to recycle a few of the questions, and I have asked this before, but I think the answer was dogs. So to have cats in here, I did not think about how much cats know.
Yeah, I mean, they all think we're their servants, and
they
think so little of us.
They're judgy as can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. Cats would be the most annoying if animals could talk. Do you have a cat?
I do not. I have two doggies.
Ah, smart, smart. Yeah. I was wondering if, like, a cat was, like, if you were just in a room with your cat, and the cat just goes, looks at you right dead in the eyes and says, no one would believe you, and then just goes back to meowing.
Yeah, yeah.
What a world. Halloween. All right, last question. Question five. Back to a Schlafly-related question.
Okay.
What is the worst pronunciation for Schlafly you've ever heard?
Oh, man. I mean, I think I hear shoe fly more than anything, which is completely silly. Because
really?
I don't know how you get there from that. But I think some people now just embrace the fact that they, you know, say it incorrectly.
Right.
That they just say whatever sounds like fun.
Right.
So shoe fly.
Shoe fly. Yeah. My mom's that way. Yeah. I can't stand it.
I said, all the letters are there.
Yeah.
You know, they're all there.
I always get Schlafly.
Yeah.
Because everybody leaves that L
first
out.
L out.
It's always, you know, Schlafly, guys, Schlafly. But shoe fly.
Yeah. Okay. I don't spend any time correcting anybody. The only time if I tell somebody how to say it, it's because they've asked. Because, you know, our thought is if you're just trying to say it, it's good for us.
Right.
Usually.
Yeah, I'll take that. You know, at least leads to confusion, which generally means, okay, yeah, I need to Google this. And then there you go. You got yourself a Google hit.
For sure.
Yeah, that works. Maybe some beer off the shelf, too. Excellent. Well, those are my five questions. I hope it wasn't too hard.
I'll let you know later.
That's very fair. Very fair. I can't wait for the email afterwards. Like, why would you ask that?
Yeah.
That's all good. Gary Briggs, Schlafly Brewing Company, I greatly appreciate your time today. Thank you so very much. And obviously go get Schlafly. Their 30th anniversary is coming up. 30 years of fantastic St. Louis-style beers. And is there anything else I'm missing?
No, not necessarily. I mean, we've opened some more brew pubs, so... You know, we bought Trailhead last year.
That's right.
Yeah, and then now we're putting one in Highland, Illinois, like this week.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's been in the works, but I think it's going to open within the next week or so.
You're
or
invading
like
the other state.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
man.
And, you know, so.
Got that east side roll. All right. Awesome. Well, guys, if you don't get the St. Louis, you know, if you do, obviously, there's a ton of Schlafly brew pubs all around that you can go and enjoy some authentic style food, some authentic craft beer. But if not, that same authentic craft beer is available here in Kansas City, especially on the Missouri side.
Yep, for sure.
Central states. Gary, thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.
To kind of continue the St. Louis portion of the Central States October podcast, we're going to talk Four Hands now. And with me today is Four Hands' very own Mr. Jeremy Danner.
Hi, dude.
How are you? I'm good.
I'm good too, dude. It's nice to see and be seen.
Yes. It's good. And we're in the studio together in person.
Fancy. You have like sound dampening on the walls and doors.
And I want to point out the fan for ventilation. That's a big thing for me. But we're maskless, vaccinated, and talking.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you're vaccinated, right?
I am very much so, yeah.
Okay. I know it's like taboo to ask.
You can ask me whatever you want.
I plan to. No, how have things been going here in the life of Jeremy Danner at Four Hands Brewing Company?
You know, man, it's been weird, but it's been good, and it's weird to say that it's been good in an odd way. In 2020, we were fortunate to have our best year ever in the Kansas City area. all things considered. So it feels weird to boast about that. But at the same time, I think it shows the dedication of the folks who like our beer and want to drink our beer, continued picking it up at liquor stores, even when they couldn't go to bars. So it's been interesting building on that. And then as things are opening back up in 2021, and I recorded another podcast, my Royals podcast, this morning, and I thought it was still 2020. I'm like, oh yeah, next year in 2021. Like, no, dude, it's 2021 now. But everything's just been, it's been the longest time and it's been the shortest time in a weird way.
No, I was actually just thinking that earlier today too, as to how everything feels so far away, but also we're still living through it. Like literally, yeah. It's still happening. All the same stuff. When you talk about Four Hands and you know, having a really good 2020, was there a lot of like just hard pivoting or trying to restructure and refigure out what goes in a keg versus what goes in a can and vice versa?
I mean, yeah, everything was very intentional. We wanted to make sure, especially as we're looking at, you know, wholesalers outside the St. Louis area, that we weren't burdening them with too much inventory. And then also that we were doing the right thing for the brewery too, you know, because the brewery was closed for a while. Once we were able to open back up, we have that avenue to pour draft beer that maybe we couldn't have moved had we needed to, you know, while we weren't open. So yeah, I mean, everything was very, I think intentional is a good word. And I use that word a lot in describing brewing and production. I think, you know, accurate execution of intent, I think is a really good way to measure things. So yeah, we were fortunate that we continued to see great support during then and still now. We continue to grow. It's been really neat.
If you've not been to Four Hands Brewing Company in St. Louis, it's a really, really cool, one, really cool area of town. Two, just a really cool building, too. Like, there's an entire upstairs with a game room, and the downstairs, there's just taps on taps on taps, and just, you know, a nice little merch area. Really cool spot.
I mean, I could remember going there in the early days of Four Hands, you know, long before I worked there. I think there were like maybe five or six beers on tap and just like this little tiny like draft wall kind of jutting out of the cooler. And now it's, you know, it's a full bar downstairs. We have a full bar upstairs with an event space where we can rent that out. The video games are free. So my son loves going there. We went to St. Louis right before I started with Four Hands at the end of July. And we went to Four Hands every day we were there because Cooper was like, we have to go to the brewery, Dad. I want to go play video games again. So, I mean, it really is in, you know, in what I believe should be the spirit of a brewery is kind of a gathering point for the community to come together.
So how many of those beers, when the first time you visited Four Hands, are still on tap and available?
Man, so back then, Single Speed would have been around. Citywide was not there yet. Incarnation was around, but it was called, it might have still been called Resurrection back then, or Resurrection. And then I think Divided Sky was around. But like Citywide and obviously Statewide, you know, those beers are all new within the past 4 years. And back then, Four Hands was still doing, it was four packs of 12-ounce bottles for the year-round beers too.
Oh, before. Wow.
Yeah, so it's a good thing we're not doing that anymore. So yeah, that was a smart pivot to cans and having, you know, our year-round beers for the most part in six packs of 12-ounce cans.
I know, I actually wasn't even planning on broaching this subject, but since we brought it up, it's a fun one to talk about. It was so taboo at the time to talk about moving craft beer into a can. And I guess, you know, looking back, hindsight 2020, it's like, well, that was a really stupid idea. Like, why did anybody ever feel it was a bad idea to put craft beer in cans?
You know, it was weird. When I was at Boulevard, when they launched cans, and I think 2015 maybe, and it was interesting, the people who knew things about beer at that point in time were like, yes, it's about damn time that you guys have cans. Like, why are you not putting your beer in cans? They're lighter. They're a better barrier for sunlight getting to the beer, UV rays or whatever. But the people who didn't know things about beer, and not just regular people, people who weren't really into craft beer, were like, oh, you know, cans are for shitty beer. Can I say shitty on the podcast?
You can. I'm not going to put
that out. Okay, cool. you know, cans are for shitty beer. And why would you disrespect your beer by putting in this package? So it was a really weird switch, you know, then. But I think people still have this odd perception about beer in cans. But people who know beer understand that in most ways it is a superior package to bottles.
Does it taste different out of a can?
No, man. and that's the thing, though. Like, I wrote up this big FAQ, and my boss was like, I think some of these are really obvious. And I'm like, I think you're probably overestimating, you know, like, how people are going to react to this. Like, that's why frequently asked questions exist, because they are frequently asked questions. But yeah, like, there was that concern, like, will the beer taste different? Will this happen? And really, it's just a vessel, man. I always talk about, like, the cereal box or the soup can, you know, like,
right.
Those are vessels for these things that you eat every day that you give no second thought to. But beer is this weird thing where, like, some of the rules don't apply. Like, and I'm going to get in the weeds here, but like sour beer, you hand someone a sour beer and they're like, oh my God, that's sour. Even if it's not that sour, because we've not been trained to expect acidity in beer.
True.
You know, we like lemonade. We know that Balsamic Vinaigrette is going to be sour. We know that Sour Patch Kids are going to be sour, but people haven't had a lot of experience with sour beer, so it completely changes their perception. And I think, you know, cans are the same way. I was trying to sell some beer at a high-end account that I can't afford to eat at, but I was going to try to sell beer anyway, and they don't do any cans at all.
Oh, wow.
And I asked if it was a quality thing, and the manager told me it was purely perception.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I won't have you like dox the account or anything.
Well,
like
no,
that.
on the off chance that they change their mind, I don't. Well, we were going to do this until Danner bagged on us. Yeah,
no, that's totally fair. Totally fair. It is funny though, the people that, you know, if you have a brewery that just started canning, and obviously quality control issues are something that are at best minimized, but still happen. Anytime there's just some off thing that happens, or even if it just like it's total. What's the word I'm looking for? Placebo.
Sure.
In the mind, somebody's drinking, it's like, well, you know, they wouldn't have had that problem if it hadn't switched over to cans.
Oh, yeah. People are very suggestible.
All the time. All the time. Going back, I guess, now that we're past the can versus bottle conversation a little bit, and some of those original beers that Four Hands had on tap, you mentioned Incarnation IPA. That was one of the first in the Four Hands portfolio that we launched with in the Kansas side, and it has gone really, really well. It's a fantastic IPA. Can we talk a little bit about timeline of Incarnation? Like when you first had it and talking about how it was Resurrection, I think, yeah. to now. Has there been a lot of difference?
You know, it's always been pretty much the same recipe. It's a homebrew recipe of Andy Bergio, who's our head brewer and head distiller. Brilliant dude. Super cool guy as well. But yeah, it's an all mosaic IPA that he was making as a homebrew and brought into the brewery. And it did well to begin with. And we've really never seen the need to change that much. So it's undergone a bit of a rebrand and the look of the can itself and the packaging. But other than that, the beer itself has remained fairly unchanged over time.
It's one of those just fantastic drinking traditional IPAs. And obviously in the segment of the craft portfolio and the craft world that has experienced the most change throughout and radical change throughout the course of you know, beer, I think it speaks for itself that has withstood the West Coast surge and the East Coast surge and the much maligned Brute surge.
Sure.
For a little bit.
What's funny about Incarnation is it is, you know, a vehicle for mosaic hops, and it was long before mosaic hops were, you know, super cool and sought after that Andy decided to start making this mosaic IPA. So in a weird way, it's like slightly before its time, but at the same time, yeah, like when if I go in and do a tasting with a buyer and I have, you know, a scale of complexity, or I have a statewide can, or I have all these other things, I get to Incarnation. I'm like, well, this is our regular IPA. I'm not trying to sell it short, but like a normal person expecting an IPA, I think this is what Incarnation is for them. You know, there's a touch of malt sweetness. There's a touch of caramel. And then you just get really bright, fruity hop character, a lot of citrus, a lot of blueberry, a lot of stone fruit. And then we don't really enjoy beers that get much above 40 IBU. So most of our IPAs top out in the mid 30s, and that's where Incarnation is.
As someone who also appreciates playing in that same playground, thank you for noticing drinkers like myself.
Dude, it's not fun. You know, like I remember drinking things that were 10% and 120 IBUs, and those were fun. You know, it was fun to have a little bit or share with buddies, but I can't drink three or four of those at lunch. I don't want to.
Right, right. Like there is a level of just intensity that you don't necessarily cross. Some do, and some do it okay. But what's the best analogy I heard? You've been in Nashville. You're a Nashville guy.
Yep.
And you've had hot chicken.
I have.
So you've been to Bolton's?
I've not been to Bolton's, no.
Oh, okay. Don't.
Is it just super hot?
It is. And we should have known going in whenever the guys walk out, he's like, I see you guys are don't get anything above medium.
Well, that's a challenge, though. Now you have to get something.
So now you're like, okay. I was crying in the bathroom. I was regretting everything. It was the worst drive home. But it's just, it's an example of too much.
Sure.
Let's not go that far. So maybe instead, let's just go to Hattie B's.
Yeah.
And let's just have the hot chicken that all the tourists love and enjoy. That's my playground. Now I know.
What I'm about to say and do doesn't really play that well on a podcast, but Garrett Oliver talked about, you know, beer should be comfortable to drink once. And you see people take a drink of a beer and they make this, you know, scrunched up face and they go, ooh, that's good. And your face does not communicate that was good.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it's like, I enjoy the hot challenge and I enjoy, you know, things that push the extremes. But I think most people just want to drink regular beer that sometimes doesn't require too much thought, you know?
I forgot about the YouTube videos that you guys do. And I take it back. You should go to Bolton's.
I want to, yeah. I mean, well, especially give me the hottest damn thing you have.
Or just me saying, don't do it. You're going to go and get hot.
I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah. There is signs that says don't touch children afterwards.
Really?
So yeah, maybe avoid that.
Is it that hot?
I had medium
and it was hot. Look at me. I'm not the spiciest guy in the world. Let's move on the down the hoppy scale here and talk about some more of the flagships that Four Hands launched with in Kansas and have gone really, really well with the Divided Sky Rye.
Yeah, I think that's a great beer. It's a Fish reference. Our founder Kevin Limp likes.
I didn't know that
the band Fish, not actual swimming fish. But yeah, Divided right. Sky is a. There's a Fish song, Divided Sky, and the Wind Goes High, and I'll probably mess the lyrics up, so I won't go any further.
I just feel dumb for not knowing it.
I don't want to bring any shame. Yeah. Yeah, we try to, you know, we try to make some references that are veiled and some like Contact Eye, not so much. That's yeah, pretty straight
pretty
reference.
Direct.
Yeah, yeah, pretty direct. But yeah, what I like about Divided Sky is that it's a rye IPA. You know, 15% of the malt bill is malted rye. And then that really allows that kind of spicy, fruity character that you get from the rye malt to play with those Pacific Northwest hops that you get. You know, going from Incarnation to Divided Sky, if I'm tasting a buyer, if I'm leading a class or at a festival, I'll sometimes say that I feel like the Divided Sky hop profile is sort of the opposite of what Incarnation is. So Incarnation is more juicy, fruity, tropical. To me, Divided Sky, yeah, there's some citrus, but it's more like piney, resinous, dank, and not dank like a basement.
Very fair, very fair. Yeah. And very balanced beer, too. You're absolutely right. It's a good, smooth drinking beer. Great for a time of year like right now.
Yep.
But also not terrible for a time like June.
Right, yeah. I mean, the rye malt's not too heavy that you feel like you're drinking a malty beer. It's still very much an IPA, but I do think that rye malt lends a little bit more heft to the malt bill. So it does make sense to enjoy it as it gets a little bit cooler, too.
I also definitely want to spotlight another beer that we recently brought in to the Four Hands portfolio on the Kansas side. And this one is kind of become the one that Four Hands is really known for lack of a better term, I guess. You know, the Four Hands guy might know better than myself, but Citywide American Pale Ale is to me, the Four Hands beer.
Yeah, I mean, that's by far our top seller. In St. Louis, that beer is not available on draft at all. It's just cans and crushes it everywhere. So yeah, Citywide. In addition to being good beer, it also does good. So I don't want to ruin any questions you might have. But
no, we can jump right into
cool,
that.
Cool, cool. Yeah. So when Kevin Limp founded the brewery, one of the things that he talked about is he always wanted the brewery to be more than beer, and he didn't necessarily know what that meant at the time, whether that just meant the types of beverages that he makes or what the brewery is and represents in the community. But Citywide, that mission launched around 5 years ago with the introduction of the beer. So on the St. Louis side, we work with a charitable partner each quarter. We pick a new one. And through the life of Citywide, we've been able to give back over $250,000 to local nonprofits, which I think is really cool, especially
incredible.
For our size.
Yeah. So what does that look like in the form of Citywide? So is it's a cost per case?
Yeah. So just like with Statewide, we're doing $1 per case or case equivalent sold goes to that charity that quarter.
Very cool. Very cool. And it really, I don't say, ties into the theme that's kind of been building in this podcast network that we've done over the last year. The last podcast we did, last guest we had in was Christopher Myers from Crane Brewing Company. And I don't think it's any secret, you know, Crane basically will collab with any and everyone who's willing to do something that actually benefits the community. And it's become this huge staple for them. And you kind of see that more and more in the industry where beer is being brewed with a purpose other than just enjoying said beer. And so one, amazing to see, but two, do you see maybe Four Hands and even other breweries around us building on that and actually starting to maybe make it just a huge, massive impact in the community just through drinking beer?
I hope so. You know, I mean, making good beer is pretty easy, you know, like the actual process itself is pretty straightforward, but it's about the quality of your company and the quality of the people in the community. And what you're doing to give back to that community, I think, plays a huge part because we expect people to, you know, come to the brewery and hang out and spend money and have lunch and wear shirts and do all these things. But then when you find a way that you can give back, I mean, not only is it the right thing to do, but it also feels really good. And I think, you know, in a weird psychological way, it makes the beer taste a little better because you realize like, yeah, this beer is great. The marketing's cool. I like the shirt. I like the can. I like whatever.
Right.
But I know that when I drink this, I'm also helping support these people who are giving back to the community. And in big ways, you know, even with my time at Boulevard, you know, the 10% for KC with KC Pills, mm-hmm. Some of these organizations that that Boulevard worked with back then or that we work with now as Four Hands, the amount of money that we can give them can be transformative for their mission. I think there was one organization with Boulevard with KC Pills is the amount we gave them was equal to like their operating budget for the year.
Right.
So like you can really make a huge difference with small charities with the amount of money that you're able to give them.
It's a good message. And honestly, I think it's one that we need to do a better job communicating industry wide
to kind of at least silence the people who see things like this and they're like, oh, you're just trying to make a buck and make us do all the fundraising for you. You know? Like, that's not necessarily true.
Right. You know, I got some pushback on a post that I made about a charitable beer that we have. And someone was like, well, it's only a dollar a case. I'm like, well, here's a direct link to this organization. If you'd like to make a donation yourself,
right,
you're more than welcome to do so. But we're, you know, these charitable beers aren't just about the money. It's also about giving spotlight and focus to these organizations that folks might not have heard of.
Right.
You know, and I think there were several with the KC Pills and several that I see that Crane works with or other local breweries where I didn't know these organizations existed. I was at Oak and Steel the other afternoon, and they were setting up for a hemophilia fundraiser. And I didn't know that there were organizations that focused on hemophilia. It's an incredibly rare disease, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a disease or a condition. I'm not a doctor, so let's not get in the weeds on that.
I don't think either of us are.
Right.
Yes, I understood.
The bottom line is hemophilia is bad. It's scary. But I've never seen a fundraiser for an organization before. So giving, you know, these tiny organizations that might have more niche purposes and smaller viewerships, giving them more oxygen and more light, I think, is also a great service that breweries can provide when they do these collaborations.
You're right. It is a two-pronged approach, and it's more than just actual donating a dollar per case. It is bringing awareness to a cause that a lot of people may not have otherwise known.
Sure. And when we donate with Citywide or with other beers, if there's an opportunity to go out and actually work, you know, with these charities, whatever it is they do, I know there was one charity that they work on, you know, cleaning up Missouri rivers and streams.
Yeah.
And instead of just, you know, writing a check, we also had people from the brewery go out and spend a day cleaning up rivers and streams.
Very cool.
So, yeah, it's more than just clever marketing or, you know, here's a good way to get a buck. It's really about dedicating to not only supporting that organization financially, but really understanding who they are and what it is they do. And I think selfishly that's fun for us, is we get to interface with these people that we might not normally have gotten to work with. It's neat for them too, because it's not about where the money comes from. It's about how they use it.
Right.
So even if, you know, it's an organization where the board of directors, nobody on the board of directors drinks beer, who cares?
Right.
You know, they're like, it doesn't matter where that money came from. They got it. It matters what they're going to do with it to help the organization and the groups they serve.
Well, and I think the great thing about Citywide in particular, too, is that it recognizes kind of as a mirror to the community that's in, and that it's not a one-off or it's not a seasonal. It's available year round. As a sort of way of saying, look, the job's not done, even when we make this check, you know, like there's still work to be done.
Yeah. And we keep track of all the folks that we've supported on our website. You can go see in all the past Citywide partners as well. If you want to read and learn more about those, it's a really cool way to, like you said, just keep it going. It's not about like, all right, here's $500. We're never going to see you again.
Yeah. Right. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. No, love it. Love it. Love it. And like you mentioned how, you know, the beer, it maybe helps the beer taste better. But in all honesty, this is the kind of beer, Citywide in particular, that you don't necessarily need to know it's contributing to something good to know that it tastes good. This is just a great drinking pale ale.
It really is, man. I like it. To me, it's a little more, and this is probably, I'm probably wrong, but I feel like it's a little more like Midwest style, Chicago style pale ale. It is dry hopped. There's not a ton of caramel malt there. There's a little bit to balance, but really it's about really bright, fruity, citrusy hops. You get a lot of you get a lot of that, a lot of grapefruit, a lot of, you know, candied orange, lemon, that kind of stuff. So it's not a boring beer either.
You know,
it's not like, oh, this is a charity beer, it's a throwaway beer, it doesn't matter what it actually is. The marketing's cool, the message is cool.
Right.
The beer itself is really good. I think that's important too.
I totally agree. And pale ale is one of my all-time favorite styles. And there are definitely ways to do it right, and there are definitely ways to do it wrong. And this was very much the former there. It is a very good drinking American pale ale.
I dig it.
It's on shelves in Kansas. You need to go get it. But we also need to talk about the current season that we're in, which is stout season.
Hoodie season?
We all drink stouts. Stouts are available year-round. Stouts can be drank year-round. I participate in that year-round.
Sure.
But there is definitely a thing about this time of year when you step outside and you're like, man, I just need a stout.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want a stout when it's 95 degrees. Some people do.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for them.
Well, I still will, but
yeah. For me, it's like that first crunchy leaf, or I get to wear my hoodie. Like, it's right. Time to drink stouts.
And yeah.
You know, when people ask what Four Hands is about or what kind of beers we make, I say, oh, we make all sorts of beers, you know. We make both kinds, country and western.
Right.
But I tell them that we're really known for IPAs and our stouts.
Yeah.
And we really dig in hard on stout season right now. So, yeah, Chocolate Milk Stout is out on shelves right now, as well as Absence of Light, which is a slightly beefier version of Chocolate Milk Stout, just over 7% ABV. with peanut butter added to it in addition to the cocoa nibs.
We've been very fortunate the last couple of years to have chocolate milk stout to distribute to Kansas. And I think this might be the first year we've had a big run of Absence of Light peanut butter chocolate milk stout. We may have had some last year, too. And somebody can check my math on that and just, you know, send me a message on Facebook or something. Let me know. But the fact that we have the 1-2 punch from Four Hands on the shelves and I think Taps too on the Kansas yep. side is just amazing, because both of these beers are very much worth going out literally right now, literally happy hour, and drinking.
I think so. You know, and for me, it's fun. You know, I drink our beer all the time, obviously, but that first chocolate milk stout of the season, like, oh man, I forgot how good this beer is.
Yeah.
It's super tasty. Like, you get a lot of rich, you know, cocoa and chocolate flavor, not only from the malt, but then from the cocoa nibs that we use in the production of the beer.
Is there lactose in there too?
Yes. So yeah, it's a milk stout. So chocolate milk stout and Absence of Light both have lactose.
Gotcha. Gotcha. See, so like this might be showing my hand a little bit too, but lactose for me is something that I can't necessarily tolerate very well in a lot of beers.
Sure.
And especially in recent years, like, it's just been a crazy amount of lactose. Like, how, like, maybe 5 years ago, how people were with Brett yeast.
Right.
People are kind of that way now with lactose. And I feel like I'm reaching a point personally with my own taste where it's like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I don't want a ton of it, and I don't want it when you could have done other things to influence right. what it is that you're doing with lactose. This is a tangent, but years ago, this is probably, man, 2009, 2010, my wife and I, we drove up to Chicago for 4th of July, and on our way back, we decided, oh, let's stop by we're at Three Floyds. Yeah, I'm like, what's the name of the room? Yeah. Let's stop by Three Floyds in Munster on the way home. So we stopped by there, and we met up with a guy who showed us around and fed us a bunch of beer. And they had just started making a beer called Apocalypse Cow, and it was an India Pale Ale with lactose.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, and this is, you know, long before Milkshake IPA was a thing.
Right.
This is how I know I'm old. you know, like, so he goes and gets this sample of Apocalypse Cow and this poster, and it was really cool. And my wife's like, so why did you add lactose to this IPA? And the guy goes, well, we found that the IPA was finishing drier than we wanted to. So we added some lactose to give it some more body and sweetness. And Randall just goes, why didn't you just shorten the mash time? And I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't know. Like, you have a lot of control over the fermentability of your wort and
right.
the final, you know, the finishing gravity of it following fermentation based on what you do on the brew house. So I was like, that's a really good question. And he's like, I don't know. We just like it. So like,
thanks.
Yeah. Cool. It was a good beer, but yeah, it was interesting. So yeah, I think you make a great point. Like, there's some styles where I think the lactose can be overdone. Like, I like the Milkshake IPAs. Those are fun. I'm not going to drink, you know, two or three
right,
of them.
Right.
I will sit and drink a few chocolate milk stouts because I think what it's doing, it accentuates the beer versus, like, I think there's like a beer with lactose or a lactose beer. And you see those ones and you're like, man, I could just get a bowl of ice cream if I want my belly to hurt. Like, I like the, they're fun, but like,
no, you're absolutely
yeah,
right.
Like, you they're not built for volume.
We've really like, you know, beer and craft beer, at least in the time that I've spent in it, has always been about a pendulum and whichever way it's swinging. But at some point here in the last couple of years, we've really found a way to split that pendulum to where it goes both ways now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the industry's heading in one way where it's low calorie, seltzer, gluten free, like just as healthy as you can make something that's not traditionally healthy. And then on the other end, it is double straight up milkshake fudge, real fruit puree.
Yeah. Like, which is fun.
It is.
Have you had a smoothie seltzer before?
No.
Are you familiar with these? So they there's a brewery.
I take that back. I had one, three halves a while
ago. Oh, did they make a smoothie seltzer?
They had a smoothie seltzer, yeah.
Yeah, so they're making these seltzers that have so much fruit puree in them that they're like, I think they're like 40 carbs and like 400 calories. So it's like, it's the complete opposite.
I'm not
going to
have dinner tonight.
Right. Like, I just drank a Big Mac.
Right. What a world.
And I make that joke. I guarantee if we get on Untappd right now, there's a Big Mac beer.
Oh, yeah.
There has
yeah,
to be one yeah. out there with
somebody
special
put
sauce.
Thousand Island in there or something like that. Yeah.
You know
yeah.
it.
But, you know, okay, I'll reel this back in and say, one, first of all, lactose in chocolate milk stout is incredibly subtle, so much so that I didn't even know it was there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think when I first brewed with lactose at Boulevard, you know, we thought we were like, oh, we're going to put it in our coffee and make it really sweet. That really isn't how lactose works.
Yeah.
You don't get a ton of sweetness from a small amount of it, but you do get that slight body, that slight kind of smooth, creamy mouthfeel. And that's what we're looking for.
Gotcha.
We're not using a ton of like bitter, like super roasted malt. It's a lot of chocolate malt. There is a touch of roasted barley to kind of give like a little bit of punctuation there, but we're not trying to overcome that at all. So yeah, it really isn't about making up for something we could have done on the brew house. It really is about making that beer complete and being to style with a milk stout.
Yeah, it shows well. It's great. It is to me, it is the definition of a chocolate milk stout. Like, that's the one that we always compare anything else to. It's like, this is the bar. See where you're at from there.
Yeah, and as a sales guy, it's really easy to sell that beer.
Right.
I think my job is just to not mess it up. Don't get in the way. Let buyers know that's available. Let right. them taste the beer. And then get out of the way and let them sell it.
Feel that way daily about myself, too.
Yeah, just don't get in the way, dude.
But, and you know, that kind of ties into point number two here, which is, you know, we talk about things that we can prefer and not prefer in beer. And you know, this is two guys sitting just talking preference when it comes to what we drink. But, you know, you've managed social media accounts. You continue to manage social media accounts. You know what this is like. I don't know why it's just so much harder to just say, you know what, this wasn't for me.
It's crazy, dude. It is insane. And sometimes I want to respond like, just don't drink it.
Right.
It's no one is forcing you to drink this beer.
Right.
But in the year of our Lord 2021, we have to be upset that things that we don't prefer exist, I think. It's crazy, man.
It's the people who jump on like Untappd and say, one star, this is the worst beer I've ever had. I've actually made a habit recently of just going, look, this is going to get 4 or 5 stars from me. This was not for me, but this was definitely what I think the brewer intended.
Sure. And I think people use Untappd for different reasons.
True.
They either try to rate beer to style, or they keep track of things that they liked or didn't like. So down the road, they go, oh, did I like chocolate milk stout? I did. I'm going to order it again, or I'm going to pick up a 6-pack.
That's very fair. Good point. Good point. Good point. Speaking of points, you know, I know we've got all this awesome forehands out there on the Kansas side, and you know, if you're listening to this right now, you definitely need to drive across, go get some beer, go get some forehands, enjoy that. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you definitely want to touch on?
Wow. You know, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Next month. Thanks, man. We feel really lucky, especially, you know, given these unprecedented times. Is that the phrase you use?
It's been a while since I've heard it. So yeah. We're good.
In our new normal. but no, like while everything was going down and everything continues to be what it is, we feel really fortunate that we have the ability to think about, you know, what are we working on that we're going to be proud of in 2 or 3 years or 4 or 5 years, where some breweries, you know, when things were at the height of shutdown, they're like, I don't know if we're going to be open next week or next month. So it is really cool to be able to think about that. And sure, I came from a brewery where, you know, the year that I departed the brewery, they celebrated their 30th anniversary. Is that right? Yeah. It's their 30th anniversary. So it's wild to think, but like 10 years in craft beer, that's a long time.
Right.
Especially, you know, given sort of our model and what we want to do. And we're, you know, like, not to say that we're, you know, stubborn or kind of doing our completely own thing, but we're very committed to doing things the way that we want to do them. So it's really cool that people embrace that and believe that there's value in the beers that we're making, as well as the way we want to conduct ourselves and the way we want to, you know, talk and present things.
That's a really good point of emphasis too. You know, happy 10th anniversary to Forehands. 10 years in craft beer is definitely nothing to scoff at. That's crazy, especially in this industry today.
Yeah. I mean, I've been around. I got my first brewing job, my first job in a brewery in 2005.
Was that 75th Street?
Yeah. So I was I went through 3 rounds of interviews to be a server at 75th Street. And after the last interview, the manager asked me, he's like, well, do you have any questions? I go, yeah, are you guys going to hire me or what? This is stupid. You know, like I've been serving a while. I'm pretty good at this. I've been through 3 interviews at this brew pub.
Right.
Like, what's going on? And, you know, they called me that night and hired me, thankfully. And that was in November of 05. And then by June of 06, I'd worked myself into a brew house position as I was Chris Morgan's assistant brewer. And so he trained me how to brew. And then when he got hired at Boulevard years later, I trained him out around the brew house at Boulevard.
Oh, that's cool.
So we're even now. I paid him back. But yeah, I worked there, and I worked at the power plant up in Parkville briefly.
Okay.
Right before I got on full-time. And yeah, so I was at Boulevard from 08 until 2019, and I've been with Forehands 2 years in August. So yeah, I've been around a little bit.
Well, a little bit more than 10 years.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
We'll put it that way. Congratulations to yourself as well, sir.
Thanks, man.
I don't know if you've listened to any of our Central States podcasts or anything like this in the past.
I have.
But okay, then you probably know what's coming.
Butter up!
5 heavy hitters.
I don't remember.
Okay. No, I do a segment called 5 Heavy Hitters, which is just 5 totally random questions.
Okay.
And I'm going to be real. It may be a disadvantage if you have listened in the past and heard a couple, because I'm going to have to start recycling a few of these. I only have so many random questions. But some of them I did make very Danner specific.
Oh, Lord.
So if you're okay with it, we can continue.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Question number one. You mentioned that you had a podcast, 610 Sports, our friends down the street are here.
Yep.
Called I Love This Town. That's a weekly, monthly...
You know, it started out monthly. Now that it's come back, I've been trying to do it every couple weeks. My schedule's been a little wild lately, so I have a couple more episodes I'm recording this coming week. Yeah, in a perfect world, I'd put out two episodes a month would be the goal.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, definitely check that out if you're listening. It's available Spotify, Apple, the works.
Yeah, it's on, I don't think it's on Spotify right now, but it's on Apple Podcasts. It's in the Audacy app. That's Audacy. And then you can listen to it at 610sports.com. But yeah, I love this town. And it's sort of my love letter to Kansas City in podcast form through conversations with people who live and work in Kansas City and do cool things here. Sort of that's the qualifications to be on the show. And then the other one is that you have to be willing to talk to me for 45 minutes. So yeah.
Steps one and two. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine there's some people who would not be willing to talk to me, and I understand that.
Well, that's fine. They don't need to get the invite, you know. Yeah. All good. And I'm glad you brought that description because it ties into my actual question. So it's called I Love This Town, featuring what you like about Kansas City.
Yep.
So hate is a strong word.
Sure.
I'm not going to say hate. But do you ever, you know, drive around Kansas City and think, we can do this better?
Yeah. I think, and this is a problem that's been around for decades. And I think in the early days it was far more intentional than it is now. But we've done a really poor job in the way that we've segregated the city based on traffic and the highway and especially the streetcar. I saw recently they're looking to expand the streetcar to go east and west, and I think that's
right.
I think that's very important.
Yeah.
But we have historically disenfranchised portions of the community on purpose through intentional or not always completely intentional, but sometimes passive means or things that we just don't think about. So I mean, like that's our biggest opportunity. And on I Love This Town, I have two questions that I ask people that go together. One of them is Kansas City got it right when, and Kansas City has a real opportunity too. And this is something that comes up a lot on there is like, we really need to do a better job of developing the east side.
Right.
I think another, and something else that goes along with that, with bringing the streetcar, you know, going out east to bring people into the city, is we need to do a better job downtown of affordable housing. I would love to live in a luxury high rise at some point. I probably won't. Because I sell beer for money. But there needs to be housing downtown for regular people who can pay regular mortgages, who have regular jobs.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. I don't know if that's too spicy for this podcast. But...
I genuinely appreciate the authenticity of that. And I think you're absolutely right. Like there definitely is a divide and it's very well known. It's very well documented. And it kind of ties into what we were talking about with the streetcar going east and west.
Yep.
I personally think Kansas City can do better. And we are like starting to do better with public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge, huge thing that makes any big city run.
Well, yeah, there's also this weird stigma with public transportation here. Like if I were to go, you know, say I work downtown somewhere and I say, oh, I took the bus. Why? did someone steal your car?
Right, right.
Like, they're like taking the bus is like the most desperate thing you can do in Kansas City. And really like there, people take buses in cities all the time.
Dude, yeah.
But because the city was so built on being able to drive around and park everywhere and park in front of things.
Right.
We've done a poor job of making sure that transportation kept up with who we are as a city.
There still is that huge stigma of people who just want to drive everywhere. But
yeah.
I think we just need to do a better job reminding them how much more forehands you can drink when you're not driving.
Right, right.
Come on.
Years ago when I worked at 75th Street, there was an attorney that was, he was kind of a hothead, but in a good way, I liked him. And some lady had written a letter to the editor about being on the bus. And she said, the young man that sat down next to me smelled so strongly of beer and marijuana that it was, it was hard to ride the bus. And he wrote a letter to the editor in response, and his letter was basically like, do you want him driving a car?
Right.
Or do you want him on the bus?
Oh, man.
It's like, it's so ridiculous,
stop
man.
And think. Stop yeah. and think. No, it's good. That's a good question one. I appreciate right. that one. It'll be a little bit lighter here for question two.
I'm going to make it heavy again.
Okay. I can't wait to see where we go with this one. The question two centers around spooky season, and with Halloween just around the corner. Jeremy Danner, do you believe in ghosts?
I do not. I'm sorry.
All fair.
Yeah, when we die, dude. We are amazing animals, but we're a complex collection of electrical signals. And,
yeah.
And when we cease to have power, we're dead, dude.
I respect that.
I love scary movies, though, and I get scared by them. And I think about the Babadook every time I go to the basement.
Oh, dude.
So I'm not like unaffected by them. I get spooked for sure.
Right.
And I have a very active imagination, but I do not believe in ghosts.
So not some sort of sense of like just paranormal spirit that's doing something around you.
No, like I believe in like there's like places can have like a bad vibe. And yeah. I know that's stupid and ridiculous too if I say I don't believe in ghosts. But like you've been somewhere and you're like, I don't like this place. It doesn't feel right. And normally you're. Like if you're somewhere and you feel like you shouldn't be there, you're probably right most of the time. But I do not believe that there is a this veil between the living and the dead that exists.
Right. You know, I can relate. I find myself incredibly fascinated by spirits.
Sure.
And the idea of them, and especially how far some people go with their belief in them.
Oh yeah.
But my wife is part Native, and so we've spent a lot of time recently in Oklahoma actually, and I've learned, and I did not know that owls were bad. Like, that's a bad omen.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm terrified of them, but I didn't know it was a bad omen.
I thought it was like, you watch Harry Potter and they're very well accepted. Sure. But then you go over to, Oklahoma and apparently it's like a sign of bad things to come.
Huh.
So, yeah. If you see an owl, by the way.
Well, yeah. I think like spirits and deities occupy like this weird part of our brains where, especially if you look at, tribal societies and long before a lot was understood about the natural world and science and,
right.
Thunder and lightning, their explanations for those. And instead of saying, I don't know, people have inserted right. these other explanations for them.
It was ghosts.
It was ghosts. Ghosts did it. Yeah.
Like how don't question it. Do more cocaine.
Right. Yeah, just keep going.
Oh, what a weird time. What a weird time. All right. That was good. That was a good question number two. It wasn't that dark either.
No, I was excited to try to make it dark, but I couldn't.
This next one, I'm actually looking forward to this next one. This was a Daner-specific question.
Uh-oh.
Question number three. Would you rather host a season of Between Two Ferns or Hot Ones?
Ooh. I think Hot Ones, man. Because I like what happens when people are in that state of mind.
Yeah.
There's a guy in Europe who calls himself Chili Klaus. Are you familiar with him?
I'm not.
You should check if you like Hot Ones, check him out. And is it Sean Edwards? Is that the guy's name? Who
yes.
Yeah. So there's an episode of, I think it's Chili Klaus's show or gig or whatever that has Sean Edwards on there, and they go eat these really hot peppers. But he goes around and he interviews important people while they eat hot peppers. And there's like some European statesman that like has to open a window and puke out of his house.
Oh my God.
But like the reactions that you get during those conversations, because there's not time to think about, like even we're all, I'm comfortable chatting with you, but there's still right. things that I know, like I shouldn't say this or I shouldn't talk about this topic.
Right.
But when you are dying, there's none of that, the filter's gone.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to see what people say. And I don't know. I'm just fascinated with lighting myself on fire too. I did the hot sauce endurance contest at Beer Sauce.
How'd it go?
Oh, it was terrible, dude.
How'd the next day go?
It wasn't bad.
Okay.
Because you're not eating a large volume of things. You're eating very small bites of stuff.
Ah, gotcha.
So you're not like eating like a whole wing or anything.
It would still kill me.
Oh, yeah. No. It's brutal, dude. So the first three rounds were fine. And then the last round, he pulls out, this vial of like inky black elixir that's in like a skull-shaped bottle. And I'm like, this is a sign. Like, that's the bad vibes. Get out, dude.
Oh, man.
And I took a bite of this and instant panic. Just sheer terror and panic. The most pain I've ever felt in my mouth in my entire life. And I was just like trying to physically get away from myself. And my wife was trying to talk to me. And I'm like, I can't talk. Like, I can't like stop. I can't think about anything. But like, if you were to ask like, things that I've kept secret, I probably would have told you in that instance.
Wow.
That's what I think is cool about Hot Ones is like, these celebrities come on and they get rocked
yeah.
by this heat. And then they're not as guarded as they once were. They're not thinking about those things. And they say things, not things they shouldn't say probably, but they're just so much more honest and open while they're just dying from pain.
I know. That disarming factor is probably way more gratifying to get out of somebody than just cracking a cheap joke like you would when they're between two ferns.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to say messed up things to people just to get their reaction.
Oh, yeah.
I do that every day. So to get paid for it would be incredible. But I think I'd definitely go for the Hot Ones. I think it'd be more interesting.
Sorry. It's a good point. Very good point. It's a good number three. Good number three.
It's
we'll move
good
on.
Question, dude. I like that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Question number four, though. If you were to do a two-course meal of toasted ravioli and Halloween candy, which is going to happen for some people next yeah. weekend, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
What two Forehands beers are you putting out there?
Man, so I'm going to go Citywide for the toasted ravioli. I know it's an obvious choice. We have a shirt that has, it's a citywide shirt, and it has like little pictures of the St. Louis foods you're supposed to eat with it. And it's a, there's a graphic on the can too that has toasted ravioli. There's Slingers and square pizza, toasted ravioli and pork roast.
Okay. All right.
I'm going citywide with the toasted ravioli. And then, I mean, I think for the candy, I have to go with, chocolate milk stout, right? Unless there's some, you know, fruited candies in there, then I think I'd go with passion fruit Prussia, which you can still find.
Very fair.
There's still a little bit of that around town, but I think, I mean, chocolate milk stout is just such an obvious no-brainer there.
Absence of light would be too much, yeah?
I don't know, man. I mean, absence like 7% is fun, you know, especially especially if you're Halloween partying, you know, it gets you a little quicker. But when I do beer pairing events, I try to avoid always doing obvious pairings, you know? Uh-huh. Like, oh, well, we're going to have some spicy food. Oh, we should do an IPA with that, of course, blah, 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 you know, accentuate the hops. But, and people always want, oh, well, you've got a stout. We should do a brownie or a piece of chocolate cake. And it's so obvious. So it's fun to depart from that. But there's a reason it's obvious, because it works.
Yeah.
There's a reason that that's a pairing you see a ton.
That's a very good answer. And I'm very excited about it, especially part of that answer. It's going to make me answer or ask a question 4.5 here.
Okay, I'm ready.
Which is, you know, you brought up Slingers being on the side of the citywide can.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes the best Slinger?
Oh, dude. I've had a few. I think I'm partial to the one at Courtesy.
Yeah?
I mean, like, that's the one people talk about a lot. I had the one at Southwest Diner.
Sure.
And I thought it was good. But for me, the Slinger is broke. It's not broken and does not need to be fixed. So, like, the more creative takes on it, I'm like,
it's not a Slinger.
Right, right. Yeah. It's like when I love tiramisu. It's the best dessert on the planet, and I won't hear otherwise. But oh, we have tiramisu. I'm like, oh, cool. Is it normal tiramisu? Oh no. So we've put our own spin on. I don't want it. I don't want your bastardized tiramisu. Like, there's nothing wrong with tiramisu.
Just make it tiramisu.
Just make tiramisu. I don't want walnuts. I don't want like cherry cream or anything. I just want freaking tiramisu.
Right.
So yeah, I want that Slinger. The first time I had it, I was really hungover and I went into Courtesy by myself and I sat at the counter and the lady walked over and she goes, "Honey, you look like shit." And I go,
you need a Slinger.
I go, "Thanks, I do feel like shit." And she points at me, she goes, "Eat that, you'll feel better." And it was amazing, dude.
Yeah, yeah, it is a hangover cure, that is for sure. And I totally agree. But you know, I think I've probably grown more attached to the Shacks.
It's
just
good.
Because the Shacks here.
Yep, yep.
And that's why I can get it.
Yep.
Because nobody else in Kansas City is gonna make a Slinger.
No. Well, I saw that. We went to Shack, I didn't know it was a St. Louis based company.
Yeah.
And I saw the Slinger. I'm like, what's going on? Why there was a Slinger on the menu? And then I looked at all their other locations, they're all in the St. Louis area.
Right.
It's like, aha.
I think we probably segmented an awful lot of the audience listening in. If you don't know what a Slinger is, you definitely need to Google it. It's very much worth your time, especially if you've had a few citywides the next day and you're a little hungover. It is the perfect cure.
And that is Slinger with an L, not Swinger with a W.
That's right. Don't, yeah.
Slinger, yeah. Yes.
Jeremy Danner saving your Google history here. Right.
My Google history is garbage.
He knows. He knows the difference between the two, for sure.
Back when I worked in an office, I was the one who had to Google all the weird stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
Danner, your search history is trash. You got to Google this, man. Like, fine.
Another visit to HR. Here we go.
Yeah, my the ads I get served are awful.
All right, final question. Question number 5. Also a Danner-specific question. And, you know, we've already segmented a good portion of the audience. We may as well go a little bit further.
Let's alienate the rest of them.
Right. Does Forehands know?
Yeah. I don't know if... You know what? Forehands does know that I'm here. I was actually... Okay. I was texting with our marketing manager, Lauren, before I came. And she... So someone from Forehands is aware of my presence here.
Okay, that's good.
That's my favorite question people ask me online, dude. I was in a comic book shop a couple weeks ago with my son. And the guy that rang me up did not let on that he was aware of who I was or anything until he hands me the receipt. He goes, "Oh, yeah, one more thing. Does Forehands know you're in the comic book shop?" I'm like, "Actually, dude, I just talked to Kevin, our owner, on my way down here, and Forehands does know that I'm in a comic book shop.
This is good. This is good.
It's the funnest getcha or try to get me online. I'm like, yeah, dude. Forehands knew what they were hiring when they got me.
I'm actually very glad to know that it's kind of come around and you've made it kind of your own thing, too.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious, man. The reality is I, and me especially, I'm not going to please everyone on Twitter. I know that. So, I mean, I try, but then I try to tell the truth.
I don't know if there's a single person on this planet that can please all of Twitter.
No.
Like, Chrissy Teigen tried.
Right.
She couldn't do it.
There are people who hate her.
Right.
I don't get it.
So that's a hard task.
Almost impossible. It's impossible.
Right.
An impossible task. So I'm glad to know that Four Hands knew you were here.
Yeah.
And shout out to Four Hands for letting you do the podcast. Yeah. That was great. Was there any topic that was off limits?
No. You know, with Four Hands and near the end of my time at Boulevard, I'd figured out, you know, pretty well, like, I could be my own handler, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need someone in the corner who's like, don't talk about that, or, you know, kicking me under the table. I have been kicked under the table before.
Right, right.
I will get kicked under the table again.
It hurts.
But yeah, no, it's nice to be I'm a big boy now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Jeremy Danner, Four Hands Brewing Company. Again, thank you immensely for coming in. I appreciate that.
Thank you, dude. I can see people that I know walking around outside.
Outside
your Podcastle studio.
Yes, yes, my little makeshift marketing studio that also functions as a beer distributor marketing area. You know,
we in a fish tank, man.
we are. Yeah, but at the same time, nobody knows.
Right, so
it's
right.
Great. It's great, except for Four Hands.
Four Hands knows. No, this is fun, man. I appreciate it. I like talking about beer. I feel so fortunate, you know, through my. What is it? What do we say? 16 years now in beer that
yeah.
I've seen a ton of support from Kansas City, and especially with my new gig, you know, people right off the bat were very quick to support. And it's always really cool when someone will, you know, shoot a text or tweet at me saying, hey, I'm drinking this beer and I thought of you, or, you know, you posted about this and that's why I'm drinking this beer. That's really, really cool that people do that. So thank you, and please don't stop doing that. That's awesome.
Yes, and if you just made it through this podcast, please go out and get some Absence of Light or some Chocolate Milk Stout on the Kansas side now. Very, very exciting. And personally, you know what, buddy? It's really good to see you rounding out your Missouri experience here, too, and getting some of that St. Louis culture in as well.
You know, man, I like St. Louis. I've always been a fan. Let's just not talk about baseball.
All right, yeah. we'll avoid the baseball discussion. Yeah. All right. Jeremy Danner, thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Of Information by Central States Beverage Company.